This is a Collider.com audio interview.
We heard that Scott saw your picture from Eurotrip, and that's how he came to the one to have a meeting with you. Did he tell you that?
He might have, but I don't listen to Scott too much, especially when we're filming.
So did you think that Eurotrip would lead to this movie, playing that character?
No, I thought maybe McDonald's or something, working McDonald's, something like that, maybe after that movie. But I brought the character to life, and it's funny. It's you get different things on the street, you know, and for years, even down to today, there were, you know, someone would say, Lockstock, blah, 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 or Snatch. But like now, more recently, it's been, you know, Eurotrip and She's the Man, you know, and it's like, yeah, get quiet. you know. So, and that was a fantastic story that, but this movie I'm on now, we started this movie, and this, one of the PAs come up, and he sort of said, he said, would you do me a favour and sign my Lockstock DVD? So I said, sure, yeah. And it's all muddy. I said, dude, this is, you know, it's all muddy, this, and he said, I lost my house in Katrina, and he said, I grabbed four things, and this was the first thing I grabbed in my house. Wow. And he's living here now, he's got no house, no nothing. And I, you know, I've given him half my wardrobe as well now. But you know, he runs out of the house, and one of the first only things he saved was Lockstock DVD.
And that does mean a lot, actually.
It does mean a lot, dude. Yeah, you know, so we're here now from various things. I mean, not just Eurotrip, thank God.
I don't mean to talk about a different subject than this film, but as long as we're just talking about the film you're making right now, could you talk a little bit about that?
The one I'm on now is the Midnight Meat Train. Lots of blood. Look, I've tried to shower it off, but I've killed three people this morning, actually, while you had your lunch. You know, I've been very busy this morning. And, it's with Bradley Cooper and Leslie Bibb, about a photographer that's trying to get on, and I play the serial killer on the underground.
And is that filming here in LA?
Well, I hope so. I ain't got my own jet yet. Yeah. I'm not up there yet, man.
You said underground, that sounded British, yeah. Like London, maybe.
Yeah, up at Santa Monica we've been filming it, you know, on the underground bit there. But we're in the studio now.
So, getting back to this film, how did you, what was your experience working on location in Australia and all that stuff?
I love it because, you know, I think the Australians are proper tough people, you know. They, you know, black is black and white is white, you know. They say how it is. There's no Hollywood bullshit, you know. And it was real men, I think, in Australia, to be honest. And just, you know, loved it all. Just loved the experience. You know, I've done a bit of fishing out there, and we were in this small place called Terra Avenue. We became quite a large family, you know. And we were tight. We worked really, really hard. And at the weekends, we played hard, you know, on Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then back at it. You know, it was really great atmosphere. Yeah.
What kind of, physically, this, I mean, you're a great soccer star, but not, or did you say football anyway?
Football.
Oh, sorry, you're a great football star.
Do you know I say soccer now? Because it saves all the, you know.
Yeah.
It saves all the, what?
Yeah. You know. So what did you do to prepare yourself physically for this? Because I can see, well, Steve is a wrestler, so maybe.
Well, we went out early. We got out there early. Me and Steve said we'd go. I was finishing a movie, and I said, as soon as I do the movie, I'm coming out. So we went out there early. Mm-hmm. We got all the stuff. And Richard Norton, the stunt guy here, he'd done a lot of work through the years with Chuck Norris and everybody else. We had him as our stunt man, and he said, guys, look, here it is. Do you want the camera in close and fight each other for real, 75%? Or do you want us to pull the camera back out there, you know, and we can... So we both wanted to go for it, and especially Steve's first movie. Mm-hmm. He said, look, I'm going with you boys. And I said, Steve, the adrenaline and that on the day gets you through it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, there's a couple of scenes there where he's got me and he's pounding me. We're going at it, but we're going at it with adrenaline. He was smashing me, I can't tell you.
Yeah, he mentioned that, didn't he?
And I was going, come on! And, you know, the whole thing took over and he was pounding me. And never in the shot was he supposed to start hitting me with the other arm. He got carried away and he went, and I was, dude, let's go! So, you know, and on them rocks and stuff was horrible. The only thing we had out was they put, like, Hessian sacks on them. And they put felt on our boots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they done it with stuntmen, but the stuntman was, you know, up with the Eagles, you know, and we looked that big. So we said, get it down here, we'll do it.
He said he might have hit you a few times.
Oh, did he ever.
So let's ask the question, can he really hit?
He's strong... MF.
Were you able to play soccer on your breaks or no?
We were playing. I was playing where we were staying on the beach was a tennis court and that there. And us English, we turn a tennis court into a small soccer pitch, and we play a thing called like football tennis. So you play tennis with the football without the racket. So we was getting everybody doing that, but Steve, even through the movie, Steve was in the gym every day. He seriously was down there working out.
How have you enjoyed playing the villain in this movie and the one that you're filming right now, and even X-Men? I mean, it just seems like it's a lot of fun because it would let you really go over the top with.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been number one on the crew list with Derek Jacobi and Vanessa Redgrave. You know, it's just, it doesn't get the publicity that all these sort of movies do. But I mean, they're creeping out there, you know. But doing this sort of stuff is, one of my biggest heroes in movies is John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
John Wayne never ever disappointed his fans, because he was a cowboy, you know. And that's how I look at this. Why, you know, there's good action stars, you know. I'm a bad guy action star, and what disappoints me is when you all of a sudden you get a good action star and then he wants to go and play a comedy with kids, you know. And that upsets me, and that's not being true to your fans. So I, you know, although I do my independent stuff where it's real acting, if you like, you know, intense drama stuff, you know, I love my actions. That movie I've just done, I played a reporter with Jacobi, and the testing's coming back from the kids under 25. Oh, we're disappointed. Why didn't Vinny bash anybody up? So you know, it's a catch-22. But I want to be loyal to my fans, and I don't want to have to prove to anybody. I've done that as a soccer player. I had 15 years of trying to prove something. I've done over 40 movies now. I don't have to prove to anybody, you guys or anybody, that, you know, that I can do movies, because there's people out there that love what I do. They love my screen presence. And Guy Ritchie said it. He said, there ain't a price on my screen presence.
When you look at a script, what do you look for in it?
I look at my character first. You know, I do that before I even read the script. I go through. And with this, I looked at my character, and I didn't particularly like it. And then I read the script, and I loved McStarley. So when I went and met Scott, I said, you know, I don't really like that, you know, Robert Mamone's character. I said, I like the McStarley character. I said, because although he's, you know, like joint lead number two in the movie, at the end, his redemption and, you know, is brilliant for me, you know, because there's this guy, he is, you know, going killing people, shooting people, all the rest of you think he's the baddest lunatic on the planet. And suddenly, you know, he gets in there and he gets the guy and he says, do you enjoy watching all this? You know, all of a sudden he says, shit, he is human, this geezer. You know? And then when I do the speech in the chair, you know, about, you know, why I'm like this, you know, don't think, you know, what, have you had it easy, this, that and the other. You know, and there's a lot of people out there with McStarley's problems, you know, that want to sit in that leather chair and explain it.
What's it like working with or for Vince McMahon?
Well, I met Vince in 99, I think, with Stone Cold. They came to town in London, and we done the WWE there, the wrestling, and I was Stone Cold's tag partner. Just a small world. They asked me if I would do the wrestling. I said, yeah. And they said, we're going to team you up with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So when this call come through and said, you know, Stone Cold's doing the doing this movie, I thought, oh, it must be the end of his career as a wrestler as well then. Because they'll move into the movies.
Do you ever want to be the hero? Why couldn't you be the hero? You think of yourself as a bad guy? You said a bad guy in action films. Well, this one, the next one you're doing? I mean, could you picture yourself doing like Steve Austin's part?
I think a good baddie is the audience love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love to hate you. And I said to Steve that for me, this movie, if they cheer him and hate me and boo me, we've done our job. You know, the last couple of minutes of the movie for me, completely turns the audience around on McStarley. For me, they go, shit, you know, he's intelligent. He's, you know, obviously all this stuff has built up. You know, this is not just because, you know, he's been paid to do this, whatever. This is a human being sitting there.
But then you kill
everyone. This is after, when I'm in the chair.
I know.
Did it not say to you, when I've killed everybody and then I stop and I go, do you enjoy watching all this?
Mm-hmm. No, I...
It's like, why has he said that? Why does...
We're all applauding when you killed them all. But
yeah, but when McStarley actually stops and says, do you enjoy watching all this? It's mm-hmm. like, the kid's like, what do you mean? You know, mm-hmm. and what we were going to... I think in some of the takes, I do say, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't watch it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So McStarley, his character is what you see for an hour and a half, and the last 5 minutes, it shows you that somewhere this guy was an intelligent guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did he come from? The fact that he was down there on the shop floor working for, you know, Robert Mamone,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take away that he still doesn't agree with what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And really, in real life, you know, we're saying, you know, this is a big message, mm-hmm. you know, because how far in the future is it?
Do you have any other projects that are lined up that will be happening after the one you're filming right now?
Yeah.
Can you talk about them?
I'm doing Midnight Meat Train now for Lakeshore and Vince and for Lionsgate. I'm going on to do Hellride, a Tarantino project with Larry Bishop. And then I'm going on to do The Heavy in London. That's my next...
Can you talk a little bit about your character in both of those films?
In Hellride, I play a biker. It's all about the bikers. It's with Dennis Hopper and Michael Madsen. Larry Bishop, myself, we're bikers. And I play Billy Wings. I've got all tattoos of wings and... You'll have to watch the movie to find out what the wins are about.
Mm-hmm.
And then in The Heavy, I play a detective. A beard like yours. Big scar. And it's a bit futuristic, gangster stuff.
Who's directing that project?
Marcus Warren wrote and directed it.
And, sorry.
No, I was going to say, working with Larry Bishop on something like that, I mean, is that looking up to him and I don't know if you look at, but I mean, with motorcyclist, do you talk to him about that, or have you had the chance to talk to him about that?
About what?
About riding motorcycles.
Sure, we was up at Exile the other day, choosing the bike, you know, and we were building my bike for Billy Wings, and it's quite fascinating, you know. Larry's a character, man. He's a dude. You look under dudes in the dictionary. It's like Larry Bishop, man, he's great, you know.
So you just hang out and do you talk bikes or?
No, well, we did, yeah, Sunday. That's all we done. That's all we done, and you know it's one of the best scripts I've read for a long, long time. And this is a nice part about movie making. Sometimes, you know, we're all after the big bucks, but, you know, when a smaller budget comes along and you do it for the script, it's good for your heart.
On this film, what was the set like in between the scenes? You got all this testosterone going on. I mean, it just seems like all of these really tough guys, you know, acting together.
Yeah, but
were you going in and out of character, or did you stay in character?
Well, we there was a lot of Mickey taking, because Steve's got a great sense of humour.
He said that about you.
Yeah, well, you know, we had some... The laughs were fantastic.
Yeah.
But the only scene that it went... Not wrong, I mean, it went right, but... The scene where I raped the girl...
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you can't just walk into work, be laughing and joking, and do a scene like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to work and I just had to alienate myself from everybody, and I stayed away and I didn't. I'd worked myself up into such a frenzy about what I was going to do and what I was going to do to this woman, because I'm always have been all my life a big protector of women. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see a guy slap a girl, I would rip their head off. You know, I'm very like that. So I had to get myself into this, and it really spooked everybody, you know, because we'd done it. Even in between sets, I didn't speak to anybody. I was in completely in the zone, you know, and I was freaked out. We went to lunch, the whole crew were freaked out, and there was this ridiculous atmosphere. And then even till going home, even at the end of the day, it just never left me. And I came back in the next day and we sort of eased into it, but everybody had this big hangover of that rape scene.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always good to finish on a nice note, isn't it?